Morning, everyone. So lovely to see you. Wish there were more young people here, because our great desire is that they should catch the vision. First of all, I want to read from the scriptures. That's Revelation chapter 22. Where we find our theme this weekend. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Amen. And it's that statement, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, for the sake of those of you who are not familiar with the original vision that God gave to me, I guess between 40 and 50 years ago, and it's not ancient history, it's contemporary truth. I saw a maple tree. It was during the time of autumn, the Americans would say the fall. And the tree was covered with leaves that were flame color. And then the leaves began to fall from the tree. And they didn't fall like a carpet over the floor, but they fell in a heap. And they began to glow, to burn, like Moses' burning bush. And then the wind began to blow, and it sucked the leaves up out of the fire, because the leaves were not consumed, sucked the leaves up out of the fire and created a great canopy in the sky. And then under the canopy of these leaves, there appeared a globe of the world. And the leaves began to fall all over the globe. And then the vision disappeared. Now, I'm an artist and have great reservations about things which are pictorial because I see everything in picture form. I don't remember the things that I hear. If you tell me your name, it will go in one ear and out of the other, and 2 minutes later I will have no idea who you are. But things that I see, I never forget. But that vision was so clear and so real that I've never forgotten it. Because the Lord has confirmed and fulfilled all that was revealed. Where there is no vision, we read in the book of Proverbs, the people perish. Of course, the vision was a vision of the Lord Jesus. As every picture, figure, and type in the scripture is. It's all there to magnify him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Since my eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all the rest. So inflames my spirit's vision, looking at the crucified. Amen. That's what the vision is all about. It's focusing your eyes and my eyes afresh on the Lord Jesus, thrilling us and challenging us with who he is, what he has accomplished on our behalf, and what he intends to outwork through our individual lives. Hallelujah. Praise God for every revelation of Himself to our hearts that have effected miracles in our lives and made us different men and women. And that's what we yearn for and pray for and long for, to see reproduced in the next generation, our children. We have three sons. One is 150% committed to the Lord Jesus. The other two, they know the truth. They've heard the truth. They're not opposed to the truth. But upon their own confession, they haven't got what their kid brother has got. And we long that they will enter in. Now God has spoken. Clearly, we don't pray out of a sense of despair and hopelessness. We know that what God has said, what God has promised, He will fulfill. Amen. Therein lies our confidence this morning. Not just for our own generation, those of us who are towards the end of our pilgrimage. Amen. And some of us are a long, long way along the road. Amen. 84 years just passed, as they say in India, running 85 now. Praise God. But I've not given up, and I'm not going to give up. Praise God, because this vision, which God gave me all those years ago, is still yet to be fulfilled. I love that scripture in Philippians, "He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it and perfect it even unto the day of Jesus Christ." It's wonderful to realize that God has initiated things in the lives of even young people who perhaps are not walking with the Lord today, initiated things in their lives that He has promised and committed Himself to perfect. Amen. And it's in light of His truth and His word, beloved, that you and I can pray with confidence, with faith, believing that God will perform and fulfill what He has said. Hallelujah. Bless God. Have you ever had a vision? Visions come in a variety of ways. Sometimes they come and they're pictorial, as the vision was when I saw it, so clear, as if it was painted on the wall. Sometimes the vision will come as a result of meditating upon the Word of God. Sometimes the vision will come because you hear, and something penetrates beyond your intellect and gets inscribed upon the fleshy table of your heart and incarnated in your living, empowering you and enabling you to live in the reality of the vision that He gives. It's not the only vision that I've had. Amen. I might come to others as we go along this morning. Praise God. As I say, it's not ancient history. May God infuse our hearts, focus our vision onto Him, and preoccupy ourselves with our precious Lord Jesus. Amen. That's my one great desire. That's my one great longing as I travel from place to place. That's why I keep going to India. Amen. Been 53 times now, and we'll be going again in February. Glory be to God. Why? Because there are people who've never heard. But you don't have to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, beloved, to live in the fulfillment of this tremendous revelation of God in the person of our Lord Jesus, wanting to accomplish His finished work in each of our lives. Amen. Now I want us to meditate this morning. I hope you know what it means to meditate. If you want a more up-to-date word, ponder. Do you ponder, beloved, when you read the scripture? I trust that you read it every morning. That is the priority of your day. You get up. Amen. You have a shower. You make a strong cup of coffee. I'm telling you my routine now. Amen. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I get down, I light the fire, because I need to be warm so that I can concentrate, and then I read the scriptures. consecutively, regularly, and I said, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. And I read with the anticipation and the expectation that God will highlight something in the passage which I've read, upon which then I will meditate for an hour, perhaps, or even more. And because I'm visual, I write down the things that the Lord reveals to me. I keep a journal, that's what they call it. Amen. I'm on page 6401 at the moment. That's the 10th volume. Amen. I've been doing it for years. It's all stashed up in our attic. My wife will probably burn it when I die. Amen. It's for my own good, for my own benefit. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And so you nourish. Allow the Spirit of God to nourish your inward man and build you up in his most holy faith. Glory be to God. Are you richer this morning, beloved, than you were yesterday? Because you've already spent time with the Lord. You've meditated upon his word and pondered the things that he is wanting to say to you. That's how we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. This book, beloved, is precious. Precious. There are places in the world today where it's virtually outlawed. Even Christmas Day is outlawed in India today. The present Prime Minister determined that he will eliminate every vestige of Christianity in that land. He's in a losing battle. God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what men say, beloved, doesn't what politicians legislate. God is moving by his Spirit. Amen. And I believe that he's moving in this land, even though the external evidence would seem to indicate the opposite. Amen. Now let's meditate for a little upon this vision. Great tree. Golden leaves falling down in a heap, creating a fire, and then being caught up and scattered. Amen. Well, how does a tree begin? Here's where my meditation begins, beloved. How do you get a tree? Amen. Because a seed is planted. That's how oak trees grow. Amen. Get an acorn, beloved, pop it in the ground, and within a short time, I've got a number of books here because they're going to aid me in illustrating what I want to say this morning. They are things, beloved, things that I've read. As I've meditated upon the Lord has brought back to my remembrance things that he said to me over the years. Things that I've read in books. I'm an avid reader of certain books which have had a profound influence and impact upon my life. Amen. Here's one. Shadow of the Almighty by Elizabeth Elliot, who died 2 years ago. And if you want to read, hear, listen to her memorial, it's 2 hours long on YouTube. My wife has listened to the whole of it. I've got a shortened version on my phone. I've listened to that little one. Remarkable woman. Jim was her first husband. Amen. Praise God. How does the tree begin? Well, it begins with a seed. Jesus told a story in Matthew chapter 13. In fact, chapter 13 in Matthew's Gospel is all about seeds. It's the various seeds of various types that were planted, and some perished, beloved, some were choked, some didn't come to fruition, but the good seed falling upon good ground bore fruit. 60-fold, 80-fold, 100-fold. Have you got faith, beloved, to believe for 100-fold this morning? That seed which God has planted in your heart, do you believe that God can utilize it, beloved, to reproduce in the lives of other men and women? That's what it's there for. Glory to his name. He said the mustard seed. He talks about the mustard seed. He said it was the smallest of seeds. But planted, it became the biggest of trees. Amen. I don't know what sort of mustard seed that was. I didn't know that mustard seeds grew to that degree, but that's what the scripture says, so I believe it. Amen. A little seed. Things begin small. Praise God. Jesus began small, didn't he? One of my favorite Christmas hymns is, God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. They wrapped him in our human clay and in a manger lay. So small, so fragile, so delicate. But there, encapsulated in that little tiny body, was the seed. Amen. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And it was at Calvary, beloved, that that glorious seed fell into the ground and died. In order that you and I might live. Glory to his name. Amen. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 16 it says, and your seed is Christ. And in chapter 13 of Matthew it refers to the seed as the word of God. When was the seed planted in your heart? I had to go back a long way, 80 years, sitting in a gap under a sycamore tree. Amen. There is a sycamore tree in Jericho today, which they say is the sycamore tree that's referred to in the scripture. It says it's the oldest sycamore tree in the world. It has a plaque on it. You can have your photograph taken up by it. Amen. But I was sitting in a gap in a hedge under a sycamore tree in a little village called Washington, in a little street called Montpelier Gardens. We lived at number 13. And every year, three lovely people came. One man and two ladies. The man's name was Mr. Compton, and the ladies' names were Auntie Vi and Auntie May, old-fashioned people. And they came every Sunday, every summer, on a Wednesday evening. They preached the gospel. People mocked them. In fact, there were relatives of the man who actually lived in the same road. They used to peep out of the curtain and mock him. Amen. But faithfully, year by year, beloved, they came. Now, I cannot remember here anything that they said. But I know that from that time onwards, I had a longing to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to follow the Lord, and serve the Lord. And that has never left me. I believe that that was the initial word of God, the initial seed of God that he planted in my heart. Amen. That has never left me. And by God's grace, I trust, has grown and developed in order that it might reproduce. Hallelujah. When did God speak his word? A word, not the dead letter, beloved, but the living word, quickened by the Spirit of God, causing it to develop and grow and become what God preordained before the foundation of the world that you and I should be. He has great plans of love for each one of us and longs to see them outworked and fulfilled in all of our lives. Amen. When did he plant that seed in your life? Dear Peter was telling us about down there in Staffordshire somewhere, where the Lord laid hold of him last night. We were thrilled. Thank you, brother. Glory be to God. The seed planted in his life, beloved, I tell you, has reproduced. I visited him in Thailand on more than one occasion, here in dear Ruth. Amen. And then over into Cambodia, and they keep on going back. We thought that we caught them and got them locked into the long craft. What a Deception. They keep running away. Why? Because the seed, beloved, is growing. It's wanting to express itself. It's wanting to see what God has invested in their lives being reproduced in the lives of simple people. We heard the testimony of some of them last night. That word that God has invested in your life, beloved, how is it growing? How is it developing? How is it reproducing? Your seed is Christ. Oh. Good soil. See, laid the axe to the root of the old tree, beloved, and made room for the new. Glory be to God. Well, the seed doesn't just remain a seed, it becomes a tree, doesn't it? And that's the next part of our meditation, beloved. The seed becomes a tree. Well, you might say this is very simple, very basic. Well, it is. That's the glory of the gospel, beloved. It's not complicated. It's not intellectual. Except you come as a little child, you shall no wise enter into the kingdom. The trouble is that so many of us want to be grown up. We like to think that we're someone, that we're something. We're academically qualified. We've been to university. We've got enough degrees to hang us, beloved. Amen. God's not primarily interested in those things. We have a teacher. Amen. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine. I am the tree. Another way of saying the same thing. I am the vine. You are the branches. All that God was, beloved, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. We read in the Colossian epistle, chapter 2, beloved, verse 9, he was all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. All that God was in Christ. And by the Holy Spirit, beloved, all that he was wants to come and live in you and me to reproduce his own life. I am the vine. You are the branches. What is a branch, beloved? It's simply an extension of the vine. All that was in the vine, beloved, finds its outworking and manifestation in the branch. That's why he goes on to say, abide in me. It's not just once a while an experience, beloved. It's a constant, continuous relationship, an intimacy. In John chapter 14, verse 20, he said, at that day you will know that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. It's not God up there, beloved. It's not God over there. It's not God relegated to some special building, beloved. It's God in all his fullness coming to live in you and me. All that the tree is, beloved, all that the vine is, longing and seeking to express himself through the branch. Are you indivisibly connected to him this morning? Joined to him? Probably the most beautiful illustration of this, beloved, is marriage. That's why you read in Romans chapter 7, you should be married. That is to him, Christ Jesus, whom he hath raised from the dead. Married to him, joined to him. Intimately related to him. An intimacy, beloved, that you and I can know more wonderful than we can have even with the nearest of our loved ones. Hallelujah. Is that where we are this morning, beloved? As we gaze upon this vision and allow the Spirit of God to illuminate the truth invested in it. Oh, lovely Lord, abide in me and I in you. That's what he longs for more than anything else. Constant, continuous. True. I saw one person nodding her head. Amen. But this is what Christianity is really all about. It's nothing to do with religion. Jesus didn't say, I've come that you might have religion. He said, I have come that you might have life. And life more abundant. That's in John chapter 10. And if you go over into John chapter 11, beloved, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The life that Jesus lived on the earth as a man, beloved, is that same life into which he has introduced you and I, that we might be intimately joined, inseparably linked with him. Grafted, rooted. This is the language of the New Testament. It's all so basic, it's all so simple, beloved. The whole creation serves as an illustration to constantly remind us of the wonder and the glory of it. It doesn't need tinsel, beloved, and baubles. Amen. Nothing to do with Christmas. There's a church near us, so-called Christian. Their banner said, Festival of Trees. No reference to Jesus, no reference to Christmas, no reference to the miracle of the Incarnation. No reference at all, beloved. The Festival of Trees. Well, praise God for the trees. They serve as an illustration, beloved, to remind us of this wonderful truth. You look at a tree, beloved, you see the trunk and you see the branches. And the branches are simply the extension of the tree. They're all tree. You don't have to be clever to understand that, do you? Hallelujah. I'm the vine. You're the branch. Amen. Now the vision takes us further than that. It says there were leaves. The leaves for the healing of the nations. I guess that's how most of us would recognize the nature and character of a tree, by its leaves. Beautiful. Of course, a fir tree has different leaves to an oak tree. An oak tree has different leaves from a sycamore tree. And a sycamore tree has a different leaf to an apple tree. And an apple tree is quite different from a plum tree. Isn't it? Tremendous variety. Amen. But you recognize the nature of the tree by its leaves. And when you and I are born again of the Spirit of God, beloved, we are invested with the divine nature. That's an amazing statement. Probably the most phenomenal thing that Peter ever said. We are partakers of the divine nature. To develop in us, beloved, the very character and nature of Jesus. I say it again and again, beloved. The work of the Spirit of God is to reproduce the life and nature of the Lord Jesus in you and me. We can't be what he was as God. But everything that Jesus was as a man, beloved, the provision of his great finished work makes it possible for you and I to be a reproduction of the life of Jesus. Changed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And most of you know, beloved, that that word changed is the same word as transformed in Romans chapter 12. And it's the same word as transfigured in Matthew chapter 17. The word used, beloved, to describe the Lord Jesus glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration is exactly the same word that the Spirit of God uses to describe you and me when we are wrought upon by the Spirit of God, reborn, beloved, baptized in the Holy Ghost to become a testimony to him. That's phenomenal. Doesn't just come to patch us up, beloved. Comes to set us free. To deliver us from all that we were naturally born. And all the baggage that we've accumulated over the years. And most of us, beloved, have accumulated a tremendous amount of baggage. And we allow it, beloved, to hang around our necks. There's only one answer for that. The power of God. And Him crucified. Hallelujah. So often, but we become so preoccupied with our own little problems, our own little inheritance. The baggage which we've accumulated, beloved, and will persist on carrying around with us, using it as an excuse for not being and doing what God expects to find in us. What did He say on the cross just before He died? It is finished. Paul says in Colossians, you are complete in Him. Didn't come to patch us up. Didn't come to alleviate us from this little problem and that little problem, but He came to do something radical. I love the illustration again which Peter used last night of that little man whose whole family had been murdered, and he one day meets the man who murdered his family, and everything rose in him, the natural him, beloved, which wanted to murder the man. And in that moment of time, God spoke to him and changed his hatred into love, and He forgave him. How long did that take? How long did that take, beloved? Because we underestimate, beloved, what God has accomplished for us at Calvary. Amen. Now I know it's from one degree of glory to another, beloved. No one is ultimately perfect, and there is only one absolute perfect one, and His name is Jesus. But I read in the little letter of Jude, beloved, that you and I can live a blameless life, and then He will present us faultless. No one is faultless on the earth. We're all growing and developing and moving on from one degree of glory to another. But we're not carrying, beloved, going on carrying the baggage of our past. Amen. The leaves, beloved, are the expression of the nature of the tree. Are they not? All that the seed was, Christ. All that the tree is, Christ. All that the leaves are, Christ. In you, the hope of glory. No longer I, said Paul, but Christ. It's the old Quakers who used to talk about being Christed with Christ, Godded with God. When did He Christ you, beloved? I'll tell you when He did it. When you were crucified. Was that inadequate? Was that insufficient? Or was the provision, beloved, in that miraculous, marvellous work at Calvary to resolve every human problem? To make us more and more like Jesus. But that's the longing of my heart. So often aware that I fall short. But I know that that's His plan, that's His purpose, that's His intention. That's why I'm trusting and believing Him for. But I want to be a leaf. A leaf is not very much, is it? On one tree, beloved, there are millions, if not billions. And in the autumn, they begin to blow, and then you have to sweep them up. How many times have I cleaned our yard recently? Because of this great wind that has been blowing them around our place. Amen. Just little things, beloved, all shriveled up on the path. Amen. Just a leaf. Do you know why many people disqualified to be a leaf? Because they want to be something. We want to be someone. Paul says, if a man thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We don't want to be a nobody. We don't want people to take advantage of us. We don't want people to walk all over us. We don't want people, beloved, to condemn us, criticise us, malign us. Do we? The natural man, beloved, retaliates. That's the nature of our natural man. That's how we were born, beloved. That's the legacy of our first birth. But the whole wonder and truth of the great new birth of God is to make us something radically different. This is the revelation that God gave us at the beginning of the fellowships. Right back there. Who was I? A kicked out Anglican curate. Because I wouldn't toe the line.
Hallelujah.
And submit to something that I could not believe or do. When I left the Anglican church, but I had nothing. I had no home. I had no job. I had no money. Nothing. I walked out of St. Saviour's, Faulkner Square, just off Parliament's and the road there, where I'd been a curate for 3 years. I'd been in St. Helens for 3 years as a curate, and then 3 years in the Anglican church. Amen. When I walked out that Sunday morning, beloved, I walked out into nothing. But God had spoken to me and said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll take care of everything else. Glory to his name. And he said that 3 times to me over a period of 10 days in 3 entirely different situations. Confirmed it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm still alive. I've still got some clothes. Yes, they all come from charity shops. Why waste money, beloved, going to Marks and Spencer's? Pay £37 in Marks and Spencer's for a church, beloved. Go to one of my charity shops, £3, £4 at the most. Normally £2. And because all the ladies know what I do, they've taken me under their wing and they say, you buy one, we'll buy one. We know what you're going to do with them. You're going to take them to India. Hallelujah. Amen. I think everything I've got on except my undervest came from a charity shop. Oh, so people blood. Amen. Why waste the Lord's money, beloved? I tell you, there's needs around the world, beloved. If you go to the places that I go to and places that people like Peter have gone to, beloved, you can see the phenomenal, phenomenal needs of men and women at every level. Oh, God, help us, beloved. God, revolutionize our lives. God, bring us to our senses. God, bring us into normality. God, bring us, beloved, into the life and nature of the Lord Jesus, who made himself of no reputation. For 30 years, beloved, lived in obscurity in a little village. Amen. Working in a carpenter shop. Then he emerged, beloved, on his ministry of bank, and he said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. God help us, beloved. I tell you, when God opens your eyes and gives you a vision of who he is and what he desires, it has an impact on your life that makes it irreversible. Glory be to God. I'm no one special. You're all special to him. Amen. The great longing of God, beloved, is to constantly reveal himself to us. Once my eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all besides. So enchanged my vision, looking at the crucified. Amen. What happened to the leaves in the vision, beloved? Yes, they were caught up by the Spirit, beloved, into the hour, into the air. Amen. And then they all came down to burn. Wesley's hymns, beloved, are full of fire. Amen. See if I can find something here. Refining fire, go through my heart, illuminate my soul, scatter thy life through every part, and sanctify the whole. Can you pray that, beloved? We sing it. Oh, it's so easy, beloved, to sing these magnificent hymns. And I love the Blue Book. Sorry, I'm so old-fashioned. I love it. Amen. Because it's full of substance. It's full of truth, beloved. Doesn't skim over the surface. Doesn't just make you feel comfortable, beloved. It really gets into you. Refining fire, go through my heart, illuminate my soul, scatter thy light through every part, and sanctify the whole. Amen. When Jenny and I were married, and that's 50 years ago now, that's why we're a bit long in the tooth. Amen. O thou who camest from above the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love upon the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire, and still stir up the gift in me, ready for all thy perfect will, my acts of faith and love repeat, till death thy endless mercy seal, and make the sacrifice complete. That was our wedding hymn, beloved. I'm not sure that my wife knew that what she was taking on when she married me. If you'd ask her how long she'd been married, she'd say, in reality, 25 years. But in actuality, 50. Glory be to God. I'm glad I married a wife who was prepared, beloved, for what it involved. Amen. You know, so often, beloved, we even put our loved ones in the place of the Lord in our lives and forfeit His greatest plan and purpose for each one of us. Now, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, only another way, beloved, of saying exactly the same thing. I'm sorry if you think that it's repetitive, beloved. The New Testament, the Bible is repetitive. It keeps telling us the same thing. Amen. But because we're so blind, beloved, so often we don't see what it's saying. Now, as I say, lots of people have been a tremendous inspiration to me. And one of them has been a man called Jim Elliot, who literally, beloved, died as a martyr. Praise God. What a life. You see, I dropped it and I can't find the place now. Never mind. Let me read here. Have you ever read this book? I'd like every young person to read this book, and every old person to read it as well. Praise God. I saw it as a young man advertised in a Smith's bookshop in Worthing, down in Sussex. The picture on the cover was the picture of the advertisement. I had no idea what the book was. It was a secular bookshop. No idea what the book was. But I had an insatiable desire to buy it. I worked for a company called Hall & Co. And during the lunch hour, I did the duty of the telephonist. And in exchange, I was given 18 shillings a week to pay for my lunch. Well, the book was just 18 shillings. So what did I do? I went without my lunch for a week to buy the book. One of the greatest purchases I've ever made. I just reread it nth time. God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and I may burn up for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And then there's another remarkable quote further on. I had all this neatly prepared and then dropped the book. That often happens to the preacher's embarrassment. Amen. Here it is. This is his amazing statement. He makes his ministers a flame of fire. And of course, if you're the Lord's beloved, you're a minister. That is, you're a servant, a slave of the Lord Jesus. Read Matthew chapter 20. Amen. Am I ignitable? God, deliver me from the dread asbestos of other things. Saturate me with the oil of the Spirit, that I may be a flame. But a flame is transient, often short-lived. Canst thou bear this, my soul, a short life? In me there dwells the spirit of the great short-lived, whose zeal for God's house consumed him. And he has promised baptism with the Spirit and with fire. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. Father, let me be weak, that I might loose my clutch on everything temporal, my life, my reputation, my possessions. Lord, let me loose the tension of the grasping hand. Even, Father, would I loose the love of fondling. How often have I loosed a grip only to retain what I prized by harmless longing, the fondling touch? Rather, open my hand to receive the nail of Calvary as Christ was opened, that I, releasing all, might be released, unleashed from all that binds me thou. He thought heaven, yea, equality with God, not a thing to be clutched at. So let me release my grasp. Amen. He wrote that in his journal, beloved. It was fulfilled, literally, when he, along with his four companions, Ed McCulley, Roger Uredin, Pete Fleming, and Nate Saint, all who were speared to death in their quest to get the gospel to the Auca Indians of South America. And the result, beloved, of the whole of that tribe today is the Lord's. Glory be to God. They literally fell into the ground, beloved, and died. If you like, they fell into the fire and were burned up. But they being dead, yet speaks. Amen. Are you prepared for the fire? God is a God of consuming fire, the scripture says. Amen. I have another book somewhere. I'm not going to read from it. Raglan Pioneer. One of Amy Carmichael's little books. Another one. It's my little red book. Of course, I have another little red book, which is my prayer book. If your name gets into the little red book, beloved, you're guaranteed of daily prayer. Amen. Glory be to God. But Raglan Pioneer was a man of the same nature, the same spirit, who relinquished, beloved, success, reputation, position. He was a scholar of the highest quality at Cambridge University, beloved. Turned his back on all of it and went and lived out in village life in South India. Praise God. and died comparatively early as a result. Amen. He being dead, yet speaks. I praise God, beloved, for the lives of men and women who have influenced me. Yes, dead years ago. You might say ancient, old-fashioned, out of... But so real. Glory be to God. Beloved, are we prepared to fall into the God's fire this morning? Amen. In order that he might burn up all the dross and stubble. So that he then, by his Spirit, beloved, can draw us up and raise us up to sit together with him in the heavenlies. Amen. Is that where you're living this morning? Well, that's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. We're raised up together with him and made to sit together with him in the heavenlies. Beloved, that's where we belong. Oh, you say, heaven? Yes, heaven on earth. We pray it, don't we? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, as it is on earth, so it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Is life heavenly? Huh? Do you live in the heavenlies? Oh, you said I don't feel it. It's nothing to do with feelings, beloved. Nothing to do with feelings. Praise God. I know that. I am by nature, beloved, a depressive, an introvert. I can lie down under it and feel sorry for myself. By the grace of God and the power of his Spirit, beloved, you can arise above what you are by natural birth and begin to live in the glory and wonder of that great new birth and all the investment that it brings with it. Glory to his name. It raises us up into the heavenlies, beloved. And the leaves there in the heavenlies. And then they all begin to fall. All over the earth. Amen. And you are a leaf this morning. Oh, you say, I want to be something more important than a leaf. You're a leaf, beloved. You might be a bit shriveled. Like I am. A bit shriveled up, beloved. Old and past the sell-by by date. Amen. We don't look at those things on our purchases, beloved. Amen. Praise God. None of you here, beloved, are past the sell-by date yet. You won't be, beloved, until God calls you home. And he's the one who numbers our days. Amen. Not the doctor, beloved. It's not the prognosis. It's not this, it's not that, or not the other. It's God. Amen. That's where my confidence lies, beloved, that your life and my life is in the hands of an almighty God. And he's working all things together for our good. Oh, you say... Even when things go wrong, yes, when things go wrong, beloved, he's still working together for good. Don't give credit, beloved, to the devil. The devil is not Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. He's sovereign. And he's working, beloved. He's moving. Glory to his name. You're a leaf. And the wind of the Spirit, beloved, is wanting to carry you. Might be in the very street where you live. Or it might be another town or city in this land. Or it may take you to the uttermost parts of the earth. Beloved, when God gave me that vision, I knew that it had personal meaning, personal application. And the amazing thing is I couldn't believe that little me, a rejected Anglican minister, could be of any use to God. And since then, beloved, he's taken me probably to more countries than I can count. People say to me, how many countries have you been to? It's easier to say. The ones that I haven't been to. Amen. Not because I've sought it. It's just because God has opened one door to another, to another, to another, to another. Amen. I had an email yesterday say, please, will you come and spend the weekend with us down in Montesacchio? I wrote back and I said, yes, I will, when I had time to think and pray and talk to my wife. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation's body, soul, and spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, take authority over the powers of the wicked one. I was sitting in a little room, beloved, in a little house in Horace Street in St. Helens many years ago, where I lived with a landlady called Mrs. Hale, who was a very godly woman. It was Saturday morning. I was sitting by the fire. She was in her kitchen, and it was nearly coffee time. She was going to make some coffee, I think, and the Lord spoke to me. I wasn't reading the Bible. That verse, fellow, the leaves of the trees are for the healing in the nations, I didn't even know that it was in the Bible until after, sometime after the Lord gave me the vision. And that morning, the Lord spoke to me from Luke's Gospel. Praise God. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I knew that primarily that related to the Lord Jesus. But that morning, beloved, I knew that he was talking to me. And the amazing thing is, as I was pondering and meditating, amen, unbeknown to me, my landlady came into the dining room where I was sitting and turned the radio on. And the moment she turned it on, a voice said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he hath anointed you. And I thought, Lord, revelation. Oh, it came out of the box and little tiny radio bulb on the cupboard. This voice, I thought, goodness me, where's that come from? I didn't even see her come in. I thought, God, are you talking to me? Yes, he was talking to me, beloved. And I knew. Glory be to God. I knew without a shadow of doubt. Like I knew, beloved, on another occasion when I was travelling up from Seville in Spain. I'd gone to Spain with Sandy Frame. And we had driven from Madrid down to Seville where we met dear Dick Hussey, who was ministering there, and he still goes out, and he's well over 90, beloved, and his little leaf is still flying around. Amen. And on the way back up to Madrid, and we were to preach that evening, it was about 400 miles we got to travel back, we were driving through the vineyards, and the Lord began to talk to me. Now, it was a time in the year, beloved, when the pruning had just been done. In fact, the land was blood red. The whole land was just like a sheet of blood. And out of the ground were little black stumps. They had been, the vines had been pruned right back to the bare essentials. And the Lord began to say to me, I am the vine. You are the branch. I said, Lord, I looked at those black stumps. I said, you're the vine? The Lord said, yes, I'm the vine. He said, you are the branch. I said, Lord, I can't see any branches. Oh, he said, they're there. And within a few weeks, they will begin to come forth. Praise God. Another revelation of God reminding me who I was and what I was by the grace of God. Wonderful. Isn't it wonderful when the Lord talks to you? When he reveals truth to you? When he applies his word to your heart? Beloved, this word in Revelation, the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations, is not just a word in the Bible for me. Something that's got out of the book, written in my heart. And by his grace and the power of his Spirit, he's enabled me to live in something of the reality of it. Amen. We haven't just been saved, beloved, to go to heaven when we die. We've been saved to be an expression of him in the earth, wherever he allows our little leaf to fall. Amen. Are you happy to be his leaf this morning? Being blown about by the Spirit, planting you down to where he wants you to be. Let's pray, shall we?